and give blood now. We have lots of appointments available at convenient times, and our donor centers are based in the heart of cities. It takes an hour to save up to 3 lives. If you're the giving type, please book an appointment at blood.co.uk today.
James O'Brien on LBC.
It is 10:52. Just a quick word about the last caller, James in Chippenham. There is a tendency among people who are in a similar place to him politically to come in very critically after he people like that ring in and arguably embarrass themselves a bit on the radio. But at least he's got the guts to ring in. The kind of people who listen to a call like that and go, "Oh my God, that's me," are the kind of people that then sort of say, "Oh, James O'Brien cherry picks calls, or he uses actors, or some of the stuff that they come up with is absolutely extraordinary." But that's what happened. That's what would happen to you if you had the guts to ring in. Because that's what I do. I will ask you to define the words that you use and explain the opinions that you hold. And it's not particularly powerful. It's just still a little bit rare. 10:53 is the time. Scott Lucas is a professor of American politics at University College Dublin and joins me now to discuss developments overnight with regard to Donald Trump's legal situation. I suppose we should get a quick thumbnail sketch from you of what has happened, Scott, and how important it is, stroke might be.
So the context, James, is that earlier this year, the Supreme Court gave Trump partial immunity in his trials, his multiple trials, including the potential trial over his attempt to overturn the 2020 election, culminating in the Capitol attack in January 2021. So the special prosecutor, Jack Smith, and his team went back and they redefined the indictment so that the indictment at no point is based on Trump's official acts, his duties as president.
Yeah.
That meant they stripped out, for example, his instructions to the Justice Department to try to overturn the election. What they came back with is 165 pages in a filing for Judge Chutkan, which sets out Trump's acts, which they say are as a private individual, or his political acts. Mm. And this covers months, all the way from the election up to the Capitol attack. And to give you one takeaway of how serious this is, during the Capitol attack, as the people who have been at the Trump rally or support Trump are charging through the building, threatening to execute lawmakers, indeed threatening to execute Vice President Mike Pence, Trump is tweeting about it, right? He's tweeting in ways that simply said to approve of what is happening.
Yeah.
And he's watching TV. An aide comes up to him and says, "Look, the vice president is in danger, Mike Pence." And Trump, who hated the fact that Mike Pence would not intervene to block Joe Biden's confirmation hearing, turns around and says, "So what?" according to this filing. There are many examples I can give you if we could sit down and chat about it. Just to be very blunt about it, Trump has told on numerous occasions by his lawyers, by Republican National Committee officials, by state officials, that the election is legitimate, and he shuts them down. And he eventually says, "Doesn't matter whether I won or lost the election, we have to fight like hell."
And, I mean, fight like hell, I suppose you could offer up a defense of rhetoric, couldn't you, rather than actual instruction. So what, in the context of Mike Pence facing lethal threat, is, as you say, I mean, that's pretty hefty, even by the standards of Donald Trump's track record, and also an apparent exhortation or encouragement of actual rioting. Was that the January the 6th riots, where he said, "Do it, riot, do it," or was that somewhere else? Was that something else?
Okay, so what happens is in the run-up to the January 6th riot, there's a man named Mike Roman, who is he's the director basically of the electoral side of the campaign. And he's watching all the votes come in. And he's being told by others, "Look, no, these are legitimate counts. You know, it looks like we've lost." And he goes back to them and says, "Challenge these. Challenge these results.
Right.
Don't let them stand." And then he says 3 words, according to the indictment: "Make them riot."
Make them riot. Wow. Wow. I ask academics and journalists this question, and so I'll ask you, because, you know, we have been here before, haven't we? Kind of, you know, where we are surveying behavior that we never thought would be possible in the land of the free. You know, allegations or established facts linked to a president that are beyond comprehension, beyond belief, and it happens so often you get kind of gaslit or the frog gets boiled. It becomes hard then to essentially measure how big a deal something is. You know, he's an adjudicated sex offender. He's a multiple felon. He's convicted on several counts. He's facing more and more legal. So where does this sit on the scale of Donald Trump's malfeasance or alleged malfeasance?
Look, I'll say first of all, James, that I think it's the responsibility of all of us, not just an academic or a journalist, responsibility of all of us, if we want to have a functioning democracy.
Absolutely.
To get to the facts and to get away from the spectacle of all this.
Yes.
And what the facts effectively constitute, and I say this knowing what these words mean, is that Donald Trump tried to pursue a coup attempt on January the 6th, 2021. He tried, through his lawyers, through activists around him, like Steve Bannon, his former chief strategist, through his lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, he tried not only to overturn the election, but to block the congressional certification of Joe Biden as president. If he had been able to succeed that, it would have been an unprecedented stomping on the American Constitution, stomping on American democracy, and a breaking of the American system. In other words, what we would call in any other country, a coup attempt.
It's extraordinary. And there is, of course, every chance that he will be back in the White House next year, which rather suggests that people in various walks of life haven't properly absorb the scale of what you've just described, or don't care enough?
Well, again, it's a toss-up election. Let's make sure we put it out there. And what you have is that in America, the country that I'm still very close to after being away from it for 40 years, is that you have this tension in the 21st century of social media between spectacle, which has always been the spectacle of America, the